Sticks.
My name is Jonathan Weir, and I am absolutely loving the music picks from Kevin tonight. It's all punk and ska covers of classic songs.
You know this one?
King of Wishful Thinking?
Yeah.
Mostly, I can't remember the name of the band, but Paul Rudd and Jimmy Fallon did a cover of the video. Who is the what is the original band on this?
I'll look it up just a second.
Ah, you're killing me not knowing that. How dare you? How dare you? Anyway,
Go West.
Go West. That's right. Go West. And they did. There's so many like one-hit wonders in the 80s. Like just so many bands that popped up and had like the biggest hit of the year and then just were nothing. Just, nah, we're good. That's enough out of us. We're done. Bye, everybody. That was always my dream when I was in bands. It's like, if I could just have one hit, that would be it. And I don't have to do anything else. You just have that one song. And then, you know, you have enough people show up to your shows. You can make a living off of that. There's no pressure. You don't have to be a star. You just have that one song. You go out and perform. And then you do that at the beginning of the set. Then everybody who's not a real fan leaves.
Flock
and then
of
you're
seagulls.
Just left with the cool fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Radiohead. They used to get so pissy about, oh, people just want to hit Creep, don't they? They just show up to, yeah, people are showing up for Creep. Why don't you play some of your other songs? And if they like them, they'll stay.
They also
and by
spent
the way,
their
play-
hard-earned money to watch your art, so just
yeah.
Do your job.
Stop being a jerk. And Nirvana was the same way with Smells Like Teen Spirit. Like, yeah, of course you have a lot of great songs. Play Smells Like Teen Spirit first, and then if people leave, then you're just left with your real fans. There you go.
One time
That's all you have to do.
One time I saw Modest Mouse. It was at Sasquatch Music Festival over at the Gorge. And that was the second time I brought up the gorgeous time, this show. Yeah. And I saw Modest Mouse, and they were playing this big festival, and people were singing along a little bit to some of their songs. And then Float On came on, and it just started. Like, everyone was just dancing and singing. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. It was so funny. Because, like, I don't know. Modest Mouse, they had a really extensive career before that song. They, like, got deep into their career. It was kind of wild. I never expected that.
Yeah. No, they were such an indie, like almost like a folk indie Pixies, like,
yeah, they were kind of weird and yeah,
very weird. Yeah. Yeah, and they were great, but
it's like drunken
and
folk
I'm somebody
songs.
I'm somebody who likes all of their catalog. I like their early stuff, I like their middle stuff, I like their later stuff. I just think that they're great, and Isaac Brock is one of the greatest lyricists of his generation. And we've talked about this before with Modest Mouse, but it makes me crazy how many friends I had. One specifically, but I had other friends who were like, eh, they kind of sold out. I mean, because they have good production values? That's selling out? Let me tell you something. No band wants to sound like crap. They all want to sound good. They all want to sound polished. It's not selling out to want your music to sound as good as it possibly can.
I don't know, man. I'm going to Northwest Terror Fest this weekend. I think a lot of those bands want to sound like crap.
It's time for the Doom Scroll. Just random stories that I find and feel like dropping on your plate. Good news, if you don't remember doing these things, it means that you aren't old. Unless you're so old that you never did them in the first place. In that case, you're just very old. This is a list from BuzzFeed of things if you showed it to a teenager today, they'd think you're just making stuff up. Someone came up with a bunch of things that you'd only remember from your youth if you're officially old now. And here are a few of the good ones. Using a pencil to rewind a cassette tape.
Totally. Did it.
All the time. Hearing someone yell, "Get off the internet, I need to use the phone." Actually, that's not as bad as, I just logged on, Mom. You can call Aunt Diddle later. Just get back to making the meatloaf. Cars that need two different keys. One to unlock the door and a different key to start the engine. I don't think I ever had that. I did have a car. I did have a car that I was in an accident with, and because of that accident, I couldn't remove the key from the ignition. I couldn't remove it. It wouldn't come out. It wasn't that much wrong with the car. It was an electrical problem. It wouldn't come out. And so I had to leave the key in the car, and then I had a separate key to get in the door. So it would have been the easiest car to steal, but because it was a Saturn SL1, nobody even touched it. When everyone's favorite treat was push-up pops, where you basically ate ice cream out of a toilet paper roll, I didn't like push pops. I didn't like them because of that corrugated feel that you got when you were eating them. Just, you got down to the bottom where you were disappointed because you were finished with the push pop, and then you were also kind of feeling the paper in your mouth. Wah! Didn't like it. Printing out your directions for MapQuest, that makes you old. If you're over 60, you might still do that, actually. The wife and I probably took several trips. Like, we used to go to Cedar Point in Ohio every year, and I'm sure we printed out MapQuest things. Having a notebook where you kept track of all your friends' phone numbers.
That was a yearbook.
That was a yearbook? Oh, you would put their numbers underneath their name?
Yeah, and they'd say, like, you are too cool to be forgotten. They'd give me their number, you know.
Aw, that's sweet. That's actually very nice. I wrote in somebody's yearbook senior year, I'm the most famous person you'll ever know, and that's the saddest thing I can think of.
Wow.
Yeah, and
you're
honestly,
a bully.
But to be fair, I'm the closest thing. It's still sad. If you wanted to watch a movie, you had to switch to channel 3. That was back before TVs had different inputs, and you also had to do that if you wanted to play video games. Accidentally burning yourself with a car cigarette lighter, finding out how many movies were at your local theater by checking the newspaper or calling movie phone,
yeah.
Or God forbid, reading one movie critic that you trusted for their movie analysis and then going to see the movie based on what they said. I mean, for a lot of people, I guess by the late 80s and 90s, that was Siskel and Ebert.
Yeah, shout out. Legends.
Shout out. Love those guys. Loved them. Loved that show. Loved
R.I.P.
Ebert.
Yeah.
Yeah, RIP to both of them. Both died, like, unexpectedly soon. It was a strange thing with those two.
Jonathan, sorry, I thought you were going to finish there. I had one thing I was going to ask if you remember party lines. Do you remember those things? People would call up.
Where you could have, like, multiple people on the phone call?
It was like dating lines. People would call up for, like, you know, be like, oh, yeah, we're in the party room.
this is... This is a sad, revealing thing about my life.
You met your wife on a party line?
No. When I was a child, my older sister had her own phone line. That was like a big deal. Like, she had her own phone line for her room. And, you know, because you didn't have cell phones yet. And so, like, if she wanted to talk to her friends, they would call her phone number directly. And as I got older, I think it was my dad, actually, was like, would you want your own phone number for your room? And I had to think about, like, I don't think enough people call me. I don't think anybody would call, so it would just be a waste of time. But sure, you want to put a phone line in my room so the phone can just collect dust.
That's awesome.
That's fine. And finally, if you weren't listening to the radio, you were listening to your CD holder, and it was probably attached to your car's sun visor. That's probably true. You probably almost killed people because you were trying to find the right CD, or the CD was skipping, so you'd pull it out of the CD drive and you'd on it and wipe it on your shirt and then put it back in.
I still play CDs in my car, and I'll flip through like a binder. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm old school.
Yeah. You're not old school. You're retro. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't done a text thing tonight, so I'm going to do this right now. 888-973-5476, 888-973-KIRO. You can just spell the letters and it works. Tell us you're old without telling us you're old. How are you old without, you know, just telling us you're old? I have some. Speaking of phones, slamming the phone down out of anger. That is something I miss. Because there's just no way to do that with a smartphone. I guess you could take the phone and like throw it across the room, but that hurts your own phone. Why would you do that? But just that feeling. And we lost it. I don't even think our generation had it as well as like earlier generations had it, where phones were heavier, like those old AT&T rental phones. You could slam them down. We had those plastic phones or like a hamburger phone or something like that. How about this? For me, you got the news that school was closing from radio or TV. Like you had to sit there like it was like some kind of day trader watching the stock ticker to see if your school was listed. And it would be like every other school was listed but yours until later, and then they would call off. Or rewinding a movie that someone watched. So like you put the movie in and it's in the credits. Though my brother used to do this thing where he would watch a movie till the credits and then rewind it by a couple of minutes. So whoever watched the movie next would have the end of the movie spoiled for them. I miss that man every day, but he was sometimes a monster. Next story in the Doom Wheel. Scroll thing that we do here. Doom Scroll, that's what it's called. The director of The Flash, speaking of spoilers, just spoiled a major cameo, and it's a pretty good one. The DC Universe has been treading water for years, as we all know, but all the buzz seems to indicate that The Flash is going to turn things around. It's supposed to be really good, despite the fact that the lead of the movie is apparently like a sexual assaulting cult leader or something like that. It's really weird with Ezra. Anyway, yesterday, the director, Andy Muschietti, spoiled a major cameo that guaranteed to put butts in the seats. Superman is going to be played by Nicolas Cage. And this is a cameo and a spoiler because if you didn't grow up in the 90s, you don't know this. This is another tell me you're old without telling me you're old. There were rumors for years that there was going to be this Tim Burton movie called Superman Lives, and Nicolas Cage was going to play Superman. And it was like 4 or 5 years of talks and things like that. I think Kevin Smith was brought in to write some of it or something at some point. But the movie was eventually scrapped in like 1998. And so he never got to play it. But Nicolas Cage is going to be in this movie as Superman, which is super cool.
And weird.
Yeah, but I love Nicolas Cage. I know he's in a lot of bad movies, and I know he takes movies just because he bought a bunch of castles in the UK that he needs to pay off. But even I like him more when he's overacting than when he's actually trying to do a good job. There's a great movie that you should all check out called Dreadfall, where he plays a cokehead. And by the way, this isn't like later in his career. This was like smack dab in the middle of the Nicolas Cage-assance, where he was in like Leaving Las Vegas and stuff. You will never see acting like this in your life. He's just crazy in it. And I think he like knew nobody could do anything to stop him because he's Nicolas Cage and he was the only star they had in this movie. But he like comes in, he's like huffing in every scene. He's like out of breath. And he's angry, and he's wearing sunglasses inexplicably. It's crazy. You should definitely check it out. I don't have much to say about that. Nicolas Cage is awesome. Next one is, this is probably not going to surprise anyone, but it's interesting to see the actual data. A new Pew Research report found young adults are taking longer to hit key milestones in their life, like, you know, their first job, their first apartment, and their first kid, because we live in Idiocracy. Here are a few milestones and how many of us hit them by age 21 these days compared to 1980. Your first full-time job, 64% had one by age 21 in 1980, compared to just 39% now. So it's almost half. of people have a full-time job by 21. Financial independence, where you're not relying on your parents anymore, 42%. In 1980, weren't relying on their parents anymore, and it's only 25% now. Their first apartment, 62%, had one by age of 21 in 1980. It seems to be a recurring theme, compared to 51% now. Marriage, 32% were married by age 21 in 1980, compared to just 6% now. Which, good? I'm sorry, I don't think you should be. I have been with one woman my entire life. We started dating when we were 16. We got married when we were 24, because even though we were sure we were soulmates by the age of 17 and 18, we were like, let's wait until we have real jobs and everything to really settle down. I don't think anybody should get married at 21. And finally, your first kid, 18% had their first kid in 1980 and only 6% now. That seems like an improvement. Right? I mean, by the age of 21, you shouldn't have a kid. You're probably still in college. What? I didn't hear what... Oh, you were giving me the time. I'm sorry, Kevin. I don't want to make this political, but I do want to say it's weird how we started regressing and not being able to afford things after 1980. Something happened in 1980 that I don't want to point out because people will get mad at me, but something happened to this country in 1980 that somehow made life harder for young people. I don't really know what it was. Something about changing the tax rate from 70% to... I'm not going to talk about it. Also, I think part of the problem is young people are staying in college, pursuing education a bit longer. Not because we want to, but because... Not we want to. God, I'm 41. I'm not young anymore. But not because they want to, but because they have to, because you can't get a job without a college degree. And I also think part of it is just general pessimism. I think a lot of people these days are avoiding having kids or really settling down because they're like, the climate's going to kill us eventually. What's the point? Well, the point is living for today. Participating in that shining city on a hill. It's Kyra Knights. Okay, this is the first one I didn't really know.
Who is it?
What song is this?
It's from that movie, That Thing You Do.
Oh, yeah, it's That Thing You Do. I knew it.
Here it comes.
I just couldn't put my...
Yeah, by the Oneaters.
Mm-hmm. Who was that actually playing it, though?
Newfound Glory. They do a lot of those covers.
It's Kyra Knights. My name's Jonathan Weir. How you doing, everybody? Happy Thursday. We got a bunch of texts from people when I asked people to text in to answer the question, tell us you're old without telling us you're old. First one is this. We had car doors that were heavier than the sun and seats that were just as hot. Yeah, I don't think I ever had the car door thing. I don't think I ever experienced heavy car doors, but the seats definitely. I remember going to the beach and getting back in the car and having to put towels down, not because we would get, you know, lake water all over the seats, but because we would have burst into flames had we sat down. I don't know why that is, because I have leather seats in my car now, and it's not nearly as bad. Next one, two words, wood paneling. It was everywhere, and it was grotesque. Yeah, it was like a big thing in the 80s. I don't know why everything had to be wood paneled. You people must have thought it looked good. Somebody must have thought it was a good idea. Was it just cheap? Cheaper than wallpaper? That can't be right. Tell me you're old without telling me you're old. When the phone would ring, we had no idea who was on the other end. I don't know how we weren't all murdered by today's standards. Yeah, I guess so. Before caller ID.
Hello.
But you got a lot less spam callers. Yeah, you got some dirty callers like that. I swear to God, it has got to be a ratio of at least 10 to 1 spam callers to real people calling. And I don't mean just for me, but for like everybody. It's got to be that ratio. And I don't know how we get it to stop, but it seems like the government should probably do something about it. It seems like an FCC violation. Nah, not going to do it. I know Washington State said they were going to do something about it, but we'll see.
You ever see that movie Happiness?
Yes.
With Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I know the movie. Please don't reference it too much because there's not much about the plot of that movie we can talk about on air. Yeah, Philip Seymour Hoffman was a obscene caller, which might have been the most wholesome character in that entire movie.
True.
And finally, I'm still in my 20s, but something that makes me feel old is having to wait for Netflix in the mail to mail the DVD to my house when I was a kid.
They stopped doing that, man.
Yeah, now you just made me feel old. Thanks for that one. Congratulations on being younger than everybody, but still listening to talk radio.
I still have some VHSs.
Do you?
Yeah, man.
Do you have a VCR?
I do. I got a VCR. Really? I got a VHS collection. Some old. My mom, when I was in kindergarten, my mom worked at Burger King, and I lived in New Jersey, and my school that I was going to was so far away that it would take her like an hour to get home. So she was like, "Well, I'm just going to get like a part time job just during the day because I have nothing else to do." So I think that maybe now that I'm thinking about it, help contribute to my side hustle mentality. Like, hey, I might as well get a job. Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? But anyway, yeah. So she got
grind mind.
Exactly. So she got this job at Burger King, and I collected these Ninja Turtle VHSs they would put out, and I still have them. And from time to time, when I get sad, I like to put on these old school Ninja Turtle VHS. Reminds me of my childhood.
So you didn't like transfer them to DVD or something? They're still VHS?
Nah, bruh. Yeah, I got them on VHS.
So, like, you have to adjust the tracking and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
My
mom's listening, so I'm going to ask her this instead of... Mom, do you still have all of the VHS tapes that Ditta had of The Simpsons? Like, my aunt would record The Simpsons for me so I could go over to her house and watch them. I would love to have those.
Jonathan, no, I don't. I throw them away.
I would absolutely... Do not... ever impersonate my mother in a negative way, Kevin. She is a saint, and she's an amazing person. But I would love to have those. Oh, my God. Speaking of fast food, because you brought up Burger King, I did this earlier just on a lark. I was kind of curious. I wanted to see what food cost at fast food places in the 90s versus now.
Ooh.
Okay, so we'll do McDonald's first. A Big Mac meal from McDonald's today costs $9.39, at least near me when I'm on the East Coast in Boston. Back in the day, it cost $2.99. Back in 1993, it cost $2.99 for the meal.
Can't get a McChicken
with inflation.
For that.
Well, I'll give you the McChicken in a second. But with inflation, it's only $6.63. So McDonald's is upcharging us. The McChicken was $3.29 back in 1993. It's currently $8.69. With inflation in 1993, it should only be $7. So if they were keeping with inflation, it'd only be $7. So either McDonald's was very much underpricing in 1993, or they're overpricing us now. And I don't know what happened. Now, let's go to another one. Taco Bell. Two chalupas from Taco Bell in 1999, because that's the only menu I could find from them, cost $5.59.
Love those things.
Which would be $10.32 in today's money. And now if you go to Taco Bell, a two chalupa meal costs $10.39. So it's just a little more expensive. But check this out. a Nachos Bel Grande meal from Taco Bell in 1999 cost $5.49. With inflation, that would be $10.15 now. If you go to Taco Bell today, it only costs $8.69.
You know, Jonathan, there was actually a really interesting story in The Stranger, which is Seattle's like kind of alternative newspaper this past week, mm-hmm. where this woman, she went to all the different Taco Bells in Seattle and found that there were different prices for the Crunchwrap. Like depending on where you went in Seattle, like the one that's over by Climate Pledge that's on Mercer is like way more expensive for the Crunchwrap. If she goes out to like Rainier, it's cheaper. And it's just so the wavering prices of the Crunchwrap is just based on where in the city you are. It's so funny.
Okay, so that is funny. But you know what? The Taco Bell by me here in where I live in Lexington, Massachusetts, the Taco Bell charges way more than that for everything. Like Nachos Bel Grande meal there is like $11. I was just basing that on what they have on their online menu. So we're being screwed. You know what? Maybe it's extra for the hepatitis A. Maybe that's what. You're paying more for the hepatitis. That's how they always get you. That's how they always get you. Well, look. They don't want me making fun of it. Maybe make sure people aren't getting hepatitis A from your food. Skyro Nights. Can't be held responsible. She was such a hurt face. I won't be held responsible. She fell in love in the first place. For the life of me, I cannot remember what last thing that we were wise and we never compromised. For the life of me, I cannot believe we'd ever die for the sake. We were men and freshmen. Come on, the Snoop John B. Grandfather and me, around Nassau Town, we did roam. Drinking all night. Skyro Nights. Pretty good. Who is that? I know it's the Beach Boys.
Catch 22.
But what's Catch 22? All right. Yeah, so tomorrow is Friday, and every Friday in the 7 o'clock hour, we have Frank Summerall on to do pop culture news and things like that, and then we do this thing called the Elite Eight, where we get eight of something and vote on which one is the best. Tomorrow, we're going to do best song that was covered. So, like, the best original song that was then turned into a really great cover. So you could have things like I Will Always Love You by Dolly Parton. You could have Man Who Sold the World by David Bowie, which is obviously covered by Nirvana. You could have, obviously Proud Mary, the CCR version of that, which was obviously then covered by Ike and Tina. It's not the cover that we're judging. We're judging the original song, which original song was actually pretty great. And then was turned into a very recognizable cover. You have any suggestions for that there, Kevin?
The Limp Bizkit, Faith.
I don't know which one of those songs I don't like more. Because I don't like the George Michael song. And I really, the first time I heard that Limp Bizkit song, I was like, oh, that's funny. And then when I had to hear it like 15 more times, because, so that song got big when I was on a class trip in Germany.
Nice.
And, yeah, and this kid that I used to do this thing, this is a very 90s thing, used to, we would bring headphone extension cords with us so that you could plug more than one headphone into a CD player.
Share it, yeah.
Yeah, and he insisted on listening to that Limp Bizkit CD. And I didn't have any CDs with me, and, you know, I needed something to listen to instead of the sound of Germany just all around me. So I was like, fine, I'll listen to this. And it was, I honestly was hoping to go deaf halfway through it.
It's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. So Faith by George Michael. It's not terrible. Maybe the Where Did You Sleep Last Night, the original Lead Belly version. That would be good. I don't know. I don't have anything to talk about here at the end
cool,
of the show.
Good to know.
I'm done.
What has been your favorite song? Why don't you take it from here tonight? What has been your favorite song that I played tonight?
Oh, I like the 1 second of Heaven Is a Place on Earth.
That was awesome.
That you played. That was actually
yeah, that was great. And then you go, oh. That was great. That was the best part of the show.
That was
for sure.
That was good. That was good. I would have rather heard that than the news, to be honest with you. It was much better.
I think my favorite that I played was I don't know, man. That's a hard there's so many good ones that I played, but I think that Mustard Plug doing Verve Pipe the freshman
because
that's such a dark and like sad and depressing song, and then they're just like pick it up
yeah it'd be like hearing a punk version of Brick by Ben Folds Five. Oh, that should be the list, the Elite Eight. We'll do songs about we're not doing that. There's probably a lot, though, when you think about it.
There's death metal songs.
Papa Don't Preach.
There is literally a band called Aborted. There's a band called Dying Fetus. I mean.
White Crosses by Against Me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's way too many now that I think about it, and we're not doing that. We're not doing that for the Elite Eight.
There. Okay.
That's not going to happen.
Well, good to know.
Yeah.
We're not doing tomorrow.
Things
but
that we're not going to talk about.
Because I won't be here, man. I'll be at Northwest Terror Fest moshing it up.
So
I'll do a stage dive for you.
The entire show tomorrow is it? What?
I'll do a stage dive for you.
Oh, I always wanted to do a stage dive.
You've never done a stage dive, Jonathan?
Nah, I never had enough people show up to a show to do a stage dive.
Next
I would have just been falling onto a table.
Next time you're in Seattle, we're going to go to a hardcore show and you're going to stage dive and I'm going to film it and put it on the Cairo social media, okay?
I would absolutely love that, and I would hope that when I'm hopefully caught by people and they don't just let me fall, that it could maybe adjust my lower back, you know? Because I always felt like if when you see somebody being carried around in a stage dive, I bet that feels really good for the back because you're pushing your hands into all the pressure points on the guy. Who needs chiropractors? Who needs drugs?
Chiropractors, get it?
Good Lord, is that what the station's named after?
No.
I don't know. Actually, don't know.
Recognize this one?
Yeah. Days when the Brown Eyed Girl, Ben Morrison.
Yep.
Who is this, though? Who's the band?
Real Big Fish, man.
That's a good one to go out on.
What are you doing for Memorial Day weekend, dude?
I'll be grilling. And grilling. That's pretty much it.
Nice.
Probably drinking. Yeah. Drinking and grilling. And watching my kids grow. That's what I'll be doing. Hope you guys are doing something fun for Memorial Day. Have a great weekend. I'll be back tomorrow. Kevin will not be.
Bye-bye.
Let's all thank Kevin for the service he's done.
Still owe me that pizza.
Love you guys. Bye. Hiding behind a rainbow's wall, slipping and sliding.